Master Shalmar, A Life in Balance, 7541 TYA, Thoyor Arrival. She chases him across Tulse, alone, without weapons or supplies or equipment, following his trail where she can find it, doing her best to sense his presence and direction when she cannot, and it is 3 days before she has an inkling of where he is heading. Lannery knows she should not have simply run. She should have waited for Dam Powell, and now fears what the Jedi Master will think of her. But she is confident that she will not be a suspect in Scott Yoon's murder. And if she is, the time will come to put things right. Lannery is doing what she can to avoid losing her brother forever. Everything feels unreal, nightmarish. Dalian is a murderer. She has been made to grow up, and her world has changed forever. Tulse is a wild, sparsely populated land, and the farther south she goes, the more alien the landscape becomes. It is sometimes called the Dark Continent, and she is beginning to understand why. She descends from the hills onto a wide, endless plain, almost devoid of any plant growth over waist height. She wonders why for a while, and then half a day across the plain, the first of the winds strikes. An initial gust steals Lannery's breath and knocks her sideways, and she curls into a ball against a low rock as the most powerful wind she had ever known rips across the landscape. The tall, thin grasses that she has come to hate. Her lower legs and hands are crisscrossed with cuts from the grass's sharp tips and sheer edges, whip around her, lying almost flat across her body, and yet weathering the storm. She feels the dribble of blood from fresh grass-cut wounds, and now lying down, her face is lacerated as well. She struggles to breathe. All the time she is trying to make herself as small as possible and find as much shelter as she can behind the rock, she fears that Dale will continue walking through the storm. She pushes for him, taking comfort in flowing with the Force. He is somewhere ahead, his mind a riot of confusion. It has been the same since leaving Anil Kesh, and Lannery is not certain whether it is intentional. He knows her so well, knows how she will try to reach him. Perhaps this is his best defense. Just before dusk, the winds start to ease, and she stands and hurries on. She is thirsty, hungry, and cold. Frost sheens countless blades of grass, hardening them, forming a landscape of glimmering jewels for as far as she can see in every direction. It is beautiful, and is like wading through a sea of blades. Dale, stop. For me, she thinks, pushing the thought as hard as she can ahead of her. There is no telling whether he hears. She has come to believe that the old city might be his destination. That's where the true Tythons lived, he used to say. So little was known of the city and its former inhabitants that she could not argue, and he had built a romanticized view of those tumbled ruins, pyramids, and the unplumbed depths of its caverns and canals. Some say the Gree built the old city and lived there for tens of millennia. Others postulate that the Gree merely borrowed the place for a while, and that its true builders were lost forever to the mists of deep history. It is a mystery, and mysteries of the past are what Dale seeks. The old city lies in the southern regions of Tulse, a wild, remote place called the Red Desert, frequented only by explorers and those desiring to leave civilization behind. It's said that the blood spites stalk the nights and haunt the underground. It is rumored that they are half plant, half animal, untouchable by Jedi talents, and that they feed on warm blood. She feels a frisson of fear when she thinks of it. Once there, what will Dale do? She cannot know. Perhaps he doesn't know either, and in that doubt might be her one chance to win him back. But he's a murderer. She tries to ignore the thought. She will confront that fully when she finds him, and decide what to do then. Confused, conflicted, Lannery finally leaves the plains of slashing grass and chases her brother into the first rolling dunes of the Red Desert. At dawn the next day, Lannery shivers awake from a dream. She is down in the darkness beneath the red desert. The weight of the old city hangs around her, crushing her from all directions with its enigmatic history and a million untold tales. She is in a network of elaborate caverns, all of them illuminated by flickering firelight burning somewhere out of sight. The walls and ceilings are beautifully inlaid with pictograms of the timeless Gree, and though she is certain they tell of long-forgotten histories, she cannot perceive the true stories. It's as if even with the truth laid out before her, she can never understand what happened here. And then the blood spites appear, soundless, deadly, bat-like things, the size of her head, with clasping tendrils and dripping teeth. She has no hope of fighting them off. They circle her in the confined spaces, darting in and biting chunks from her face, her neck, her waving arms. She feels no pain, but her blood flows. She cries out for help. Her brother watches from the shadows. Lannery sits up and stares up at the wide, star-speckled sky. The dream is already fading, as most dreams do, and she recognizes the blood spites from the few times she has read about them and how she imagines them to be. She has never seen any hollows or pictures. In her dream, they are monsters, but the real beast merely watched. It's a chilling sensation. As she rekindles her fire and looks for food and water, using survival skills taught to her by her parents from a young age, the idea of Dale as a monster does not fade. Her dream spills into waking hours. Or perhaps in dreams, she could merely see the truth. She has only slept for a short time, and she hurries to pick up Dale's trail again. Trying to recall maps and legends of the Red Desert, she calculates that the old city might be 80 kilometers farther to the south. And though she has lost Dale's physical trail, she is now certain that the ruin is his destination. Lannery has always been fit, and she starts to run out across the larger dunes and into the Red Desert. She runs for 10 hours, pausing now and then in areas of ragged plant growth to dig for water. She overturns rocks and eats bugs and ants, and at one stage, she scares some desert wraths from a recent kill. The meat is rich and tough, and she eats it raw. The Red Desert is beautiful and daunting. Barren and silent. It is a place that would inspire poets and madmen, and she does her best to remain inwardly focused as well as outwardly alert. It would be easy to lose oneself out here. Her sense of who she is remains firm, and there is a familiarity that gives her great comfort. The force, strong in every sun-bleached rock.